For more information on Victory Faith Centre and to download sermons at no charge, visit www.victoryfaithcentre.org.au.
Open in prayer. Invite the Lord to have his way in our lives this morning. Heavenly Father, we do invite you to have your way in our lives, that we be people that are yielded to you and people that are yielded to what you want done. Every member of our bodies, every part of our being be yielded to you, Lord, because we know there is a great work to be done on earth and in your kingdom. And I pray this morning that every one of us would hear from your Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're looking at an area which I think is not preached on too much across the body of Christ, but should be preached on far more, because we're coming into a time where there has to be conformity to what God wants and no conformity to what the world wants. We're looking at the gift of repentance. The gift of repentance. Some people might think, oh, that doesn't sound good, or it doesn't apply to me. It applies to all of us. It applies to all of us. And we know that we start off our walk in Christ by repenting and believing the gospel. In fact, let's have a look at Mark 1. And remember, the gospel has not changed. Jesus said, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in, and so he was pointing deliberately to his gospel, this gospel. So the Lord Jesus Christ has not changed his gospel, the good news, the glad tidings of himself, and what has been done for mankind to come into the kingdom of God through Christ. That has not changed. Praise the Lord. And so let's have a look at Mark chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. Mark 1, 14 and 15. Now, after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Repent ye and believe the gospel. What we would say now is the kingdom of God is here. And the Lord Jesus Christ himself is the fulfillment of that. And we still would say and should say, repent ye and believe the gospel. So that's right at the very beginning. Repentance, obviously, is confession of sin and forsaking it, turning away from the old way, turning to the new. So there is a turning, a change that happens in people's lives. Repent and believe. Repent and believe. So it's not just believing. In fact, the Word of God talks about obeying the gospel. Repent, believe, receive. And this is very important for us to understand. So repentance started right at the beginning. Right at the beginning of your Christian walk. Now, as we go along in our Christian walk, there are going to be changes that are necessary. And so if you say, well, I've never had to repent as a Christian, well, something's greatly wrong with that scenario. It means that you haven't been responding to what the Lord has wanted you to do. So we see that right across the planet Earth today, there is the command by God for every man, everyone, everywhere to repent. Let's have a look at that in Acts 17, verses 29 to 31. So repentance requires change in people's lives. And if people have been resisting the Lord, or there's been areas in their lives that have to be changed, but they've been resisting, what we would say hardening the heart, or pride has come in and exalted itself, and they've said, "Well, not your way, Lord," or might not even call him Lord. They might not even acknowledge and say, "Not your way, but I want to go my own way." Now, we know that in the world, people are doing that all the time. In Christ, we have to have soft hearts. We have to have hearts that are open to change. And when we realise and see through the Word, through the Lord using, for example, his ministers and so on, when we see that there are things that have to be changed, but we're still resistant to that, that's going to be a problem. Going to be a problem. That means that sin has entered in and needs to be repented of. Acts 17:29-31 says, "Forasmuch then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto a gold or silver or stone graven by art and man's device. And the times of ignorance, of this ignorance, God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead." So there is a command that has gone out, and the command to repent and believe the gospel and receive Christ has gone out now. And we have to see that repentance is a command here, and it has started when you come into Christ. At that time, it would have started. So, what happens when we're in Christ? When we're in Christ, our sins have been paid, have been washed clean from us. Christ has paid the price for that. He has brought us into the kingdom of God, and now God wants to do work in you through his word, through his spirit. He wants to do work in you so that he can mould you to be conformed to the image of Christ, to get you so that you are able to do what God wants you to do in the kingdom of God for him. Because we're not to live for ourselves. In fact, the scripture says that we no longer live for ourselves. We shouldn't be living for ourselves any longer. But we should be living for Christ. And Paul the Apostle said, "For me to live is Christ." So we must see that what we are doing on the earth today is for the Lord, not just for ourselves. If you have a look at Revelation 3:19, and this is particularly relevant to the Laodicean church period of history, church history, which we went into a lot of detail recently, but it applies to all that have come into Christ. All that have come into Christ. Now remember, we know that in Ephesians 5 it says Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. So Christ loves us. He loves us. He loves every member of the church, every part of the body of Christ. When I'm talking about the church, I'm talking about the body of Christ. He loves every one of us. Every one of us. And so there is something that will come into our lives because he loves every one of us. And if you look at Revelation 3 verse 19, you can see what must come into our lives. As many, this is Jesus speaking, "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore and repent." Now, the scripture says, "Be ye holy even as your Father is holy. So our aim should be 100% holy all the time. That's our aim. We shouldn't be saying, well, I'm always falling short and never get there. What we have to be doing in our lives is having a responsive heart. Remember, we talked about having a broken heart, that is, the hardness broken up and tenderness and softness in our heart, so that we can receive the Word of God here. So our ears aren't gross, our hearts aren't gross, that we're able to hear what God has to say in whatever area He wants to say it. Now, here we see that Jesus loves us. He loves every one of us. And it says, I rebuke and chasten. That's part of His love. That's part of His love, to rebuke and chasten you so that you come to a better place. You come forward. You go forward. Now, the more open you are to God, the more there's going to be Him working on you and perfecting you and bringing you into conformity to His image, the image of Christ. More and more there's going to be that. So we can't be resistant to Him rebuking and chastening and saying this needs to change or that needs to come out. When we first come into Christ, we had all this baggage from the past in our souls. And the Bible talks about the saving of the soul. In other words, our souls had to change and be conformed, and our bodies have to be trained so that we are conformed to what God wants us to do. The Bible says, yield your members as unto the Lord. So there is a yielding that has to come into our lives. There is a being transformed by the renewing of our mind that has to happen. Because the instant we were born again, our spirit was made perfect and new. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. But our bodies and our souls, our mind, will and emotion have been all trained prior to that born again time, which now need to be worked on. And so the further you go, the more sanctified you should be. What does God say in John 17, verse 17? What did Jesus say? Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Sanctification process of bringing you into more and more conformity to the image of Christ. This is what happens. So there'll be times when there'll be rebuking and chastening. I know in my life that's happened. And to be zealous for the Lord is to earnestly desire His will and His way. And we see that there might need to be repentance attached to that. Now, what we're seeing right across the body of Christ now is there is a call that's come out. Stop the conformity to the world. Get back to the Word of God. Do you think that that call that's come out, that rebuke, you've been conforming and now you've got to get back to the Word of God, do you think the repentance has to happen there? Indeed it has to. So that's across the body of Christ. In individuals' lives, now, just in my experience over the few years that I've pastored, I've seen so much of people going, you know, doing things like rebuking ministers, and yet, you know, they've come out of sinful habits themselves and all types of things, and showing divisions and wanting to come against the brothers and sisters and all that type of thing, complete lack of love, etc., etc. Well, you go on and on. But without repentance, there can't be that, oh, I've got a clean slate now to go forward. Now, God will show us things
And if we are not hearing, that is, if we're resistant, or we let pride get in, then that has to be repented of. Now, if you do say, yes, Lord, I'll go forward in that, you don't have to repent of anything there, because you have responded straight away to the sanctification, or the sanctifying. Sanctify them through thy truth that God is doing in your life. So we can go long periods of time. We could go on and on. And if we are responsive to the Lord on a continual basis, we won't have to repent. But if we're resistant, and if we've, and particularly if we've been resistant for years and years about things, you'll find that if the more resistant you become, your conscience starts to dull, you know, and you start not to be able to hear it, and you might even say, well, I'll take myself out of situations where I'm being called to change, things like that. But God is saying, no, I love you, and there has to be a rebuking and chastening. And certainly there was with the Laodiceans here, but you'll notice that if God is, if Jesus is loving people, he's going to be addressing anything that needs to be changed, that has been resisted, and so on. And doesn't the scripture say that, well, let's turn to it. Have a look at Hebrews 4. Turn across to Hebrews 4. And even though we've quoted this many times, I want to quote it again. This is very important. Hebrews 4 verse 2. 4 verse 2. And then we'll look down at verse 12 as well. Verse 2 says, "But unto us the gospel was the gospel preached, as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it." So the hearing is very, very important. If the word preached is to profit you, that is, to bring you closer to conformity to Christ, closer to God and his ways, there has to be the proper hearing. And you've got to say, well, I trust the Lord, and I believe, and I will do. It's not sufficient just to say I believe and then there's no action. And sometimes there has to be repentance with that action. But if you're quick to believe, you're quick to believe when the word comes, you can go on and on in the Lord, because you've been responsive to the Lord. Now we're looking today at repentance, because we know that there's Christians everywhere at the moment, and we're talking particularly in the Christian context here, there's Christians everywhere who are getting entangled in the things of the devil, getting entangled in the world, getting entangled in things they shouldn't be, and the only thing that can get them out of that is repentance. And that's a gift. That's a gift, and we'll see that later on. Go down to verse 12, and we see that the Word of God is not just any word, but it has a power, a life in it, to come in and to change your heart as you're responsive to it. It says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit." So it's showing you what's soul and what's spirit here, okay? "And of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." Are your thoughts pure? Well, the word of God will show that. Are your intents pure? The Word of God will show that. Or are they not? Are your thoughts not pure? Are your intents not pure? Well, the Word of God will show that as well and say this needs to be repented of. This needs to be changed. Can you see what we're getting at here? So, if you have a look at 2 Corinthians 6, we see this once again. There'll be things that'll come to us, and God will be saying things to us. And unless we're responsive to that with a heart that hasn't got hardness or weeds or thorns or thistles in it, unless we're responsive to the word, then there's going to be the necessity of repentance. And if there's no repentance, then what comes after that? There's only judgment, isn't there? There's judgment. And judgment is something that you don't want to have in your life. Because if that happens, then... we'll talk about that a bit later. But if that happens, you're not going to be happy. It's just going to get worse. So if we look at 2 Corinthians 6, we'll start from verse 16. And we're going to 2 Corinthians 7, verse 1. 2 Corinthians 6:16 says, "And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols?" Now, idols are not just, you know, those statues that you see, or you have seen pictures of, for example. Idols can be anything that are exalted in the place of God. Okay, the Bible talks about idols of the heart, for example. "And what agreement hath the temple of God," that's the church, that's us, "with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said," and this is his promise, "I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." So see, there's promises attached to all of this. You can't agree with idols, in other words, anything that's in the place of God or his ways. You can't agree with that. God has promised to dwell with you, to walk with you, to be your God, and you be his people. That's his will, that's his desire. And he tells us to be separate from the unclean thing. Separate from sin, separate from things that can pollute. "And I will receive you." And verse 18 says, "And will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." And that's what it says in 2 Corinthians 7 verse 1. Having therefore these promises, well, we just read the promises, and it's not just those, it's the promises of God, a blessing and so on. "Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." So we're seeing God is saying you can cleanse yourself. Now, how do you do that? With the washing of the water of the Word of God from the filthiness of the flesh and spirit. And repentance is coming to the Lord. Coming to the Lord and getting that filthiness out. Asking for forgiveness and asking for the cleansing of the blood of the Lamb in your life. Now, we can cleanse ourselves from all of that filthiness by perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord, fear of God. And the Bible talks about being devoted to the fear of God. Being devoted to the fear of God. Now, if you're devoted to God's fear, what are you devoted to? What does that mean? What's the fear of the Lord? To hate evil. What's top of the list in Proverbs 8? What's at the top of the list It's pride, isn't it? My way. And I'll exalt myself. Okay, so being devoted to the fear of the Lord is very, very important, because the Bible connects it with establishing the Word of God in your life. Establishing the Word of God in your life. Have a look at Psalm 119, verse 38. Psalm 119, verse 38 here. So it is so very important. We just saw in the New Testament that the perfecting of holiness is by the fear of God in our lives. Fear of God in our lives. And notice what it says here. Establish thy word unto thy servant who is devoted to thy fear. Devoted is not just I'll think about it, or every so often I'll look at it, or I'll follow, or I'll do it. Devoted is, there's a concentration on that. There is a going forward in that as a priority. If you're devoted to something, you can be devoted to your job. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. You're devoted to that. And you can perfect the skills in doing that. You see what I mean? Devoted to the fear of the Lord is going to perfect in your life everything related to you going forward to having the Word of God established in your life. The Word of God established in your life is very, very important if you are to have your soul changed, if you have to have your body trained and yielded to the Lord. Devoted to the fear of the Lord. Now, the fact is that the fear of the Lord is not preached on much or taught about much across the body of Christ. And so there's not many that are really devoted to it. And therefore, that's why you see the establishing of the Word of God has been put aside and many other words have come in. And this is why we must see repentance. But if you're devoted to the fear of the Lord, you're devoted to make sure that evil is not in your life. You're devoted to make sure that sin is out of the way, and that, for example, pride is dealt with. That you humble yourself before the Lord. And there'll be many temptations. You know, the devil is out there as the tempter, tempting you to do evil. Many temptations to be letting go of the things of God. Many temptations. Many. And we see that people have done and do that. Why? Because they're not devoted to the fear of the Lord. And so the Word of God is not established like a foundation in their life. And so, as Jesus said, build your house upon the rock. The rock being his words, they just fall. And their life comes into destruction. It's like that house built upon the sand. But if we're devoted to the fear of the Lord, then we're devoted to making sure that evil doesn't come into our lives, our thinking, and so on. Have a look at Psalm 19. Go back to Psalm 19, verses 7 to 14. So I can see that in this, I'm having to build up to where I need to get to. And so this may indeed go across to a second sermon. Psalm 19, 7 to 14. Psalm 19, starting from verse 7, and we'll go down to verse 14. Now, what you'll see here is what is going to affect your heart What is going to affect your heart for good? So Psalm 19, starting from verse 7, says, "The law of the Lord is perfect." And when you see the law of the Lord, think the word of God. Okay, because his whole word is law. "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul." See how important it is? "The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple." See how important that is? "The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart." So what should you be saying about God's statutes, God's ways, God's truth? It's right. What will it do to a heart that's open to God? Rejoicing the heart. They'll be rejoicing about that. "The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes." Okay, so that's where part of that eye salve comes in, isn't it? Yes, I acknowledge the commandment of the Lord to be separate. Be separate from the world. Not be a friend of the world. Not to compromise. All that type of thing. What's that going to do? Enlightening the eyes so you can see the truth. There's that eye salve. "The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever." The fear of the Lord is clean. It's clean. Think about that clean. We talked about cleansing ourselves from the filthiness of the spirit and flesh. See, that cleansing is through the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is clean. Clean. Because it leads to repentance if necessary. Because you don't want evil in your life. You certainly don't want pride in your life and arrogance. You don't want that. And even a little bit is like a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. You don't want even a little bit in your life. That's why I said the other day, change your vocabulary to get pride out. "So the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb." So there's the desire. If you don't have a desire for the word of God, if you don't have a desire for the things of God, there's something wrong. If the pull of the world is greater in your life, there's something wrong. Which indicates that there's a lack of devotion to the fear of the Lord. Because the fear of the Lord is clean. It's going to be a cleansing happening. Perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord. The fear of God. So we see that there has to be a desire greater than anything of the physical. Which is not to say you can't have physical blessings. In fact, I'm all for that, and the Lord's all for that. And we should be saying we are very rich in Christ. A good confession to make. But it's not something to center yourself on. That's added to you. "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." That's added to you. It's not something to be focused on. Our focus is looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. So, more to be desired. That's where our desire must be in these areas. The law of the Lord, the testimony of the Lord, the statutes of the Lord, the commandment of the Lord, the fear of the Lord, the judgments of the Lord. All of this is more to be desired than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Verse 11, "Moreover, by them is thy servant warned." Warned of what? warned of not going the wrong way, warned of what might be ahead that you need to divert away from. Can you see what I'm saying? This is very important. You want to be a person that has the warnings of God in your life so that you don't go straight into the snare of the devil, or you don't go straight into that problem or that trouble. Well, this is the way. This is the way. Moreover, by them, so your devotion to the fear of the Lord, your desiring of these things of the Lord, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. In keeping of them there is great reward. So you're not just a person that, yes, your tongue, your mouth is agreeing. Yes, I agree, I agree, I agree. Plenty of those people around. I agree. Well, some have even said, and there was a man I met up with recently, said, yes, I agree with what you're saying, but it's the keeping of them where there is great reward. Verse 12, who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Okay? Might be secret to everyone around you. Might even be secret, or hasn't been to the top of your mind. Lord, let me know about it. Cleanse me from it. Verse 13, keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. You want to be kept back from sins that you're going headlong into. Let them not have dominion over me, then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. The great transgression is the rejection of Christ completely, rejection of God completely. Verse 14, here's a real key for us. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Trusting in the Lord is your strength and your redeemer. A word, the words in your mouth, and the word of God in your heart, so that's the meditation of your heart. Where do we see that again? We see it right through Scripture. We also see it in Romans 10, don't we? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. So we see that there in Romans 10. And we need to say, as a congregation, as people individually, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Let's say this out loud together. Ready? Let's read. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Let's say it again. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. This is something that's so very important for us, to have victory in our lives, to have cleanliness in our lives. Talking about spiritual cleanliness. Cleanliness in our lives. So our hearts are open to the Lord. Good thing to say. So put that. Put the words of God in your mouth. Meditation of God's words in your heart. I want to just finish, and we'll have to obviously continue this. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 24 to 26. The more responsive you are to the Lord and His promptings in your life, the more responsive you are the greater it's going to be in the sanctification. You're going to be responsive, you'll grow, the greater your growth. But the more resistant you are to the Lord, you can come down to the stage where you could say, "Oh Lord, why is this happening to me?" And the Lord can even remind you, "Back here, I'd said this to you and you were resistant. You would not yield." And the Lord will bring you back to that and say, "Are you going to yield now? Are you going to repent of that now? Or are you going to let it stay there?" This is the type of thing that has to be. There's cycles, there's strongholds that the devil puts in people's lives. They need to be broken. They need to be stopped. Let's have a look at what can happen in people's lives. 2 Timothy 2, verses 24 to 26. 2 Timothy 2, 24 to 26. Now, he's talking to the minister of God here. And the minister of God, obviously, as we said before, preaching the word of faith which we preach, preaching the word. What must happen in people's lives if they're to get what we saw in Hebrews 4, profit in their lives? They have to mix the hearing with faith. But what must happen, particularly if, and there's some people who have been resistant for years to the things which the Lord wants changed. What has to happen? Well, have a look at what it says here. Verse 24. "And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient." Oh, yes. Yes. Yes, I've had to be very patient. No doubt about that. And I've learned that I can't strive. I can't push people through walls. I tried to do that, particularly in the beginning parts of this church. It just didn't work. I can't do that. It has to be each individual. It has to be each individual. But I have to be gentle, apt to teach, and patient. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. So what's happening? There's people that are opposing themselves. You hardly need the devil if you're opposing yourself, do you? God comes and says something to you, and you say, "No, I don't. I will not change in that." That's opposing yourself. "In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance," this is the gift of repentance, "to the acknowledging of the truth." God's word is truth. "To the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will." So, we see that there are people who are ensnared, who are in positions they shouldn't be, in places they shouldn't be. They're ensnared. There is a responsibility, as I said before, on the minister of God, the servant of the Lord, to be gentle and apt to teach, ready to do it, you know, and patient. Because, you know, I could be preaching and it just doesn't get through the first time. But after the 20th time, perhaps a person, it twigged. That's what you're talking about. That's it. Lord, forgive me for not seeing it earlier. And yes, it's starting to, it makes sense now. "In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves." And I have seen over the years many in that category opposing themselves. I've felt like going and giving them a shake and saying, no, that's not the way to do it. I can go through dozens of examples like that. But it's not my responsibility to try to push them through a wall. They have to be open to hear. And if they can't even hear a little bit of what I say or what some Bible-believing Christian says to them, if they can't even hear a little bit of that and make a little bit of a change. There's been sometimes a person has come and I've said, and not just here, I've said, look, and I've said the word of God to them, and they've resisted that word that I've said. If they can't even receive that little bit, how could they receive the entire solution? So there is this whole area of people opposing themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. To the acknowledging of the truth. There's more we need to say about this, but I believe that we'll need to do that in another sermon. So let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you. We thank you, Lord, that you are leading us in the way we should go. You are showing us your ways. Lord, I pray that if any here need to repent, that there is a seriousness, a sobriety about that, sober and vigilant. Lord, help me. We say that we're open, Lord. Help us. Help every person here, Lord, in Jesus' name.